The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop wants to remind you that drinking and driving should never be combined. There will be many opportunities to drink during the holiday season. Plan ahead. If you're going to drink, don't drive. This message is brought to you by Fort Collins Radiator Shop at 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, call 482-6783. They have over 47 years of experience. They're family owned and operated, and they're on the air because they care.
Good morning, anybody, and welcome back to a Monday's edition of Dr. Stanley Monteith Radio Program. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together, an adventure called Dave Wilson's Part of the Dr. Stanley Monteith Show or Radio Liberty. And it's my very great pleasure to announce to you that the views expressed on this program may or may not be the views of the sponsors, the station, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're my views and the views of my guest this morning, who is a brand new to this Denver Metroplex area, I believe, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. He's a historian and a political analyst. He's been working with Dr. Stan for years on a regular basis to try to get the information out about what's really going on in this world. His writings can be found at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, and we'll repeat that for you a little bit later in the show, because you need to get there and you need to read what Dr. Cuddy has to say. Dr. Cuddy, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Dave.
You're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be hanging in there this morning. It must have been a tough weekend. I know the Giants lost, the 49ers lost, the Gators lost. I'm having a bad week, beginnings, but I always want to say, well, there's always next year, but, maybe there won't be,
you never know.
I read what you write, and I wonder sometimes exactly what's going on in this world, Doctor. So many things seem to be falling into place in terms of there really being a conspiratorial nature to our existence here in these United States. And people say, that can't possibly be true, but your lifetime and the lifetime of Dr. Stan has been devoted to proving beyond a doubt that, that perfectly good English word conspiracy has been around for a long time and is being continued today behind the scenes in our shadow government. Where can we start to influence the understanding of our new radio audience here, Doctor?
Well, like you said, I suppose the best thing would be if they got some of my material either on newswithviews.com. I currently have this 13, but it'll be expanded part series titled Conspiracy, and I deliberately put it in the form of a researcher such as myself and a skeptic who I call Jim. And so for the vast number of people who say there's no such thing as a conspiracy, that would be a useful starting place. Then I also at various times have books, quite a number of books now have come out, including those offered by Radio Liberty, like The Paralead and The Secret Nazi Plan, which is coming to fulfillment today. People think the Nazis were defeated, but they weren't. They had a secret plan. And 200-year education chronology and other books as well. There's another one called The Road to Socialism and the New World Order, because that's where we headed. So that would be a good starting point.
Right. There are so many places that a person can start. Does one need to start back in the 19th century to fully understand this, or can we just go to what's happened since Woodrow Wilson was president here?
Well, either way, I suppose you could begin with Woodrow Wilson, given that this is just an hour program. But actually, the plotting and planning does go far, far back. As most people find, just from a general knowledge in history, there have always been conspiracies, some king or prince plotting against somebody else. So it's not out of the question that there would be such a thing today. The reason people don't believe in it today is the part of the conspiracy itself. If you're going to carry out a conspiracy, the main thing you want to do is condition the people to believe there is no such thing. That's one of the things that Satan does. He has sort of tricked the people into believing that he either doesn't exist or he's some, you know, cute little thing in a red suit with horns dancing around. So that he doesn't seem as monstrous as he actually is. It's very similar to various nations. If you're going to have a revolutionary group, whether Castro or in Cuba, whatever it is, one of the first things you do is create your own opposition. You would think, you know, that you wouldn't want an opposition, but you do want an opposition if you can create them and you actually control them. For a number of reasons, you draw out people who would be opposed to you. You know, you get their time and money, and you know what they're doing because you're monitoring them and so forth and so on. So this sort of modern, as I call it, conspiracy in my latest book called The Power Elite, Their History and Future goes back to the Knights Templar. Actually, it goes back even further than that. But, you know, that's a long view historically because the Power Elite, as I call them, have been around for, you know, forever. The recent, really recent conspiracy, you would go back just a tad before Woodrow Wilson, say to the late 1800s when Cecil Rhodes formed a secret society, the Society of the Elect, to, as he said, take the government of the whole world. Dr. Stan graciously provided me with a membership list that he was able to obtain. Only about four or five of us have ever seen the membership list. And know what they're doing and how to track it and so on and so on. But they're not the only ones. There's Skull and Bones. There's the Illuminati effort that comes up from around the time of our Declaration of Independence. So we can pick it up at any of those points if you want.
The idea that there have been so many different names of these organizations, Illuminati, Skull and Bones, Cecil Rhodes Society, and so forth and so on, kind of does help in the population's misunderstanding of what's going on, because they think that, okay, once all of those people have died, then the conspiratorial nature of what they did ends. But in fact, it's only switched tracks, if you will, got a new name, has some new people, and the overlap can be seen easily enough if you compare membership lists like Dr. Stan has done. It's interesting that the people can be so easily persuaded. I had to copy a part of what you said in one of your conspiratorial essays found on newswithviews.com, where you said Aldous Huxley in The Devils of Loudun wrote of how the masses could be conditioned, explaining if we expose long enough to tom-toms and singing, every one of our philosophers would end by capering and howling with the savages. Assemble a mob of men and women and previously conditioned newspapers, and never before will they be almost like.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
In an elegant New York City mansion, billionaire Michael Bloomberg sleeps safely. A team of armed guards protects Bloomberg. But what about you? Bloomberg doesn't care about your safety. Michael Bloomberg wants to take away your right to self-defense. He's pushing extreme gun control in Congress, and Senator Udall and Barack Obama are helping him do it. Bloomberg spends millions to elect gun control politicians like Udall, and Udall votes for the Bloomberg gun control agenda. What will Bloomberg want next? He wants a ban on popular rifles, restrictions on magazines, new anti-gun Supreme Court justices, requiring federal government permission before you can give a gun to a lifelong friend or family member. Bloomberg wants to take away your rights. He wants to eliminate your freedom. Defend your freedom. Defeat Senator Udall. To learn more about Senator Udall's voting record, log on to NRAPBF.org. The NRA Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by the NRA Political Victory Fund, www.NRAPBF.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Hi, we're back with Money's edition of Radio Liberty. I misquoted I misread what the quote I was making. Let me finish that off. A symbol of mob of men and women previously conditioned by a daily reading of newspapers treats them to amplified band music, bright light, and in next no time you can reduce them to a state of almost mindless subhumanity. Never before have so few been in a position to make fools, maniacs, or criminals of so many. A quote from Aldous Huxley in The Devils of Lieutenant. With that, we're going to introduce again my guest, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. He's been a longtime friend of Dr. Stan, who, by the way, is enjoying your prayers. I pray that you would continue to pray for him for a little bit of rest and relaxation if he's away from the microphone for a while. Please continue to do that and pray for me, too, that I can do a job that will honor his way of doing things. And I want to do the best that I can. And only with your prayers can I succeed. Dr. Cuddy, what do you think about that quote that I had from from Aldous Huxley? It's really true, isn't it, that people have been made almost mindless by reading newspapers and so forth?
Yeah, and it's what I try to do is sort of present a puzzle with all of the pieces put together and in place so your listeners see a larger picture. For example, you can take a quote like that, and the general impression by a lot of people is, okay, that's one person saying this, and that's interesting, but so what? If you combine that with a lot of the sort of gurus of talk radio today, Rush Limbaugh and others, who say there are no conspiracies for a world government, because surely in all these years somebody would have spilled the beans. My response is they have spilled the beans any number of times, but these people just aren't aware of it. So they will look at an Aldous Huxley, and what I do in my various writings, for example, the quote that you gave, my latest book, as I said, is The Paralete, Their History and Future, and I have an actual chapter in there, and you can find the chapter on News with Views. It's a two-parter that's about the psychological conditioning of Americans. There's another one called The Use of Misdirection, but the psychological conditioning. And I try and cover all of these subjects to show how these are not just isolated quotes by Aldous Huxley, but there's a real pattern. So, for example, if you look at Aldous Huxley, he was writing in, say, the early, mid 20th century, various works. But before him, you would have around the turn of the century, from the 1800s to the 1900s, somebody named W.J. Gint, who was editor of the American Fabian. That's a branch of the Fabian Socialists, who had formed the year after Karl Marx died in the 1880s. And in this work that he did, there was an article in a book called Our Benevolent Feudalism. He's very specific as how they will operate. And he talks about how the oligarchs and plutocrats Jack London, the famous author, said that this would be the model, that Gent's book would be the model for the future. And he expressed the view of how they would not only control the political situation or economic, but your jobs, the way you thought. He said they would be a church sermons, editorials in newspapers. He was very, very specific about how they would do this. So with that as a background, you can see how Aldous Huxley would pick up on that. He would pick up on that and show how they would do, you know, this, that, and the other through, let's say, individuals. But then you would have a Bertrand Russell in the 1950s, 1951 and 53, who had The Impact of Science upon Society. That's his book. And he would talk about the mass psychology, that you could use various techniques, not with just with individuals, but to sort of condition people en masse. Then you would have another book by Christopher Simpson that dealt with the period 1945 to 1960 called The Science of Coercion. Now, it wasn't just an opinion like Huxley's, but he goes into the details of it and how it's actual science. They would develop in World War One, World War Two, various scientific means for conditioning, manipulating individuals, and, like I said, in the 1950s, mass psychology. And they would do it in such a precise manner that the public wouldn't even know about it. See, that's the key. That's the key. You would have somebody like a Rush Limbaugh, these others say, well, they can't do this. They aren't doing it. What those people fail to realize is that these people have this down to a scientific means whereby they can do it to you and you don't even know it that is happening. For example, let's say television. You can have television, theater, arts, and so forth and so on. And this goes way back. If you look at the Fabian window, 1910, Fabian Socialist had this very famous window. And in the window, you have at the bottom left H.G. Wells, and he's sort of doing this little dance and so forth and so on in the window. And there's a little stack of books in the middle at the bottom, and it has plays and so on and so on. So back then, they would use plays. They didn't have, you know, television, all that. But he would show how they would use the art forms of the day, the music of the day, and all of these things would enter into it. And so if you pick up in, say, the late 1900s, you had a lot of people from MTV. It was just beginning about then. They would move into commercial advertising. And what they would do is through education, John Dewey, the father of progressive education, had basically gotten control of the philosophy of the public schools by that time. Columbia University Teachers College in the 1950s, they had the principals and superintendents of most of the 160 populist cities in the country under their control. So by the early 1960s, they were down to the classroom level. And they were changing the emphasis of education from the cognitive, that's your basic reading, writing, math, logic, to the affective domain, that's your social relationships and feelings. And that's when you started to see SAT scores go down, social promotions, grade inflation, and so on, because it was your feelings that were important. And so just language, for example, language, it used to be people would ask me, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? But after that period, late 60s, early 70s, people all of a sudden started asking me, well, how do you feel about this? Feel about.
Right.
So
right.
The emphasis was on feelings. Why? Because feelings and emotions are more easily manipulated, controlled. And so what they did with advertising, it used to be back in the 1950s and 60s, somebody would come on the television, radio, whatever it is, and they say, here are the five reasons you should buy, you know, Pepsi Cola as opposed to Coca-Cola or something like that. But then when the MTV people went into commercial advertising, what they did was a simple emotional association. They simply started having happy people drinking Pepsi. So the clear message, the underlying message is, when you look at that, oh, I want to be happy, so I'll drink Pepsi too. They had reduced the message to an emotional response, a conditioned response psychologically. And that would work. and the people wouldn't even know about it. Now, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the first time. It goes way back in 1928. Edward Bernays was known as the father of public opinion. And he wrote a book in 1928 called Propaganda. It was the same year that CBS's William Paley was beginning that network, radio at first, then TV. And he hired Edward Bernays as his chief advisor. And Bernays, in that book, Propaganda, he authored that same year, said, "We're like an invisible government. We have the scientific means to manipulate you without you even knowing about it." And so, for example, about 12 years later, in 1940 or so, Lucky Strike cigarette has a white package with a red bullseye on it. They were going to come out with menthol, which would be a white pack with a green bullseye in the middle of the pack. And they wanted people to start buying that. And so they hired Edward Bernays, and he did something, again, very simple, which the public wasn't even aware of. And he went to the garment district in New York City, who would, you know, create the fashions for the next year and the next year and the next year. And he paid them a lot of money to make the fashions for the next year red and green. Red and green. Sure enough, they did. And sure enough, people started buying the menthol of Lucky Strike. It was very popular. But the public didn't know that they were being conditioned that. So you can use colors, you can use sound, you can use music to condition a populace. And the public doesn't even know what's going on.
It's an amazing thing, and I believe that's happened in the church as well. There's much more emphasis now on the spiritual side of things with so-called praise choruses.
Right.
And the sermons are, how can you get God to make you feel thus and so or that,
right,
or whatever it comes to. And
it's a feeling, and it's a happy feeling they want to promote. Because
right,
what they've done through positivism, and we can go, you know, way back if you want to do that, but just sticking with your subject right there, you want a positive message. Now, there's nothing wrong with a positive message because there are positive things in the Bible. However, what the emphasis on the positive feel-good message is, it's a decreased emphasis on sin and you might go to hell. You'll increasingly rarely find preachers say you may well be going to hell and you've committed a sin. They don't emphasize that anymore. They emphasize, well, you know, God is love and so forth, which is true. I mean, God is love. However, God did say, and you can't eliminate this, God did say, here are the rules. Here are the things which you should not do. If you do, you'll go to hell forever. Now, that sounds like the old fire and brimstone, but it's really critically important because what they've done is they've selectively picked things out of the Bible and left other things unsaid. For example, in the Bible, it says in four places that only a few are chosen or saved, just a few. There's 2.2 billion people in the world who call themselves, for example, Christians. But the Bible doesn't say a whole lot of people are saved. The Bible in four places says, oh, there are only a few who are chosen or saved. Broad is the path of destruction, narrow is the path of salvation, and few there are who find it. So now that's either a lie or it's not. Now if it's the truth, if the relatively few are going to be chosen or saved, relatively few are saved, then that creates a really big problem for a lot of these modern day preachers who are preaching this sort of happiness that we're basically good and all going to heaven. And that's what they've really changed the Bible into. For example, in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, there's a list of specific things for which you will go to hell forever. The Bible's full of do's and don'ts, but in this particular passage and others, there's a list. Now, at the top of that list of about a dozen things is fornication. So what that is saying is, if you've had sex outside of marriage, you'll go to hell forever. Now, that's either a lie or it's not. So somebody might say, oh, well, when I was 18, I had sex. That means I'm lost forever. Yes, it does, except if you repent. See, Christ always said, lest thou repent, lest thou repent, lest thou repent. There's actually,
right,
in the Bible only one unforgivable sin, and it specifies that as the sin against the Holy Spirit, who is defined as the Spirit of truth, you know, which makes sense because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So the problem for people today isn't just the sin, fornication, let's say, among others, but the lack of repentance. And that's what they've conditioned the people of the church to think they don't have to do. You have to have that repentance, as Christ said, lest thou repent. It is a natural thing. If you are born again, if you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and you occasionally, rarely slip up, you will automatically have this conviction in your heart that you've done wrong and you have to repent. If you're not doing that, then there's a fairly good chance you're not, quote, saved. For example, Bill Clinton has a history of womanizing and doing various things. He will tell you himself that his preacher in Arkansas has assured him that he's going to heaven because when he was 12 years old or whatever it was, he, quote, accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. The problem with that is Bill Clinton actually would have to say that he has accepted Christ in all things. It's not a la carte. And he would have to say, yes, Jesus is Lord of my life and everything, including my sex life. I think Bill Clinton would have a really hard time convincing anybody that Jesus had been Lord of his sex life. But he's been convinced through this sort of happiness gospel that he's basically a good person. He's done a lot for the environment. You know, he's helped, you know, this, that, and the other. And so if God is really love and if God is really forgiving, then he's okay. Now, that is actually a misconstruing of biblical teaching. The Bible doesn't say, you know, well, I'm basically good, so I'm going to heaven. That's what I call the sort of Jesse James excuse. Well, you know, I was basically good. I just robbed. You know, other than that, it was nice to little old ladies and so forth. So the Bible.
Okay. Have to hold that thought. I love the thought that it's not a la carte, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the real truth. We're talking with Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we'll be back after these important messages.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Crystal Electric Incorporated reminds listeners that more veterans are returning home. These heroes have military training and professional skills, but they need jobs, too. That's why Crystal Electric Incorporated is encouraging local business. Let's make this the year we hire smart and hire vets. That's from Crystal Electric Incorporated, your complete contract with a reputation for quality work at prices you can afford. For an estimate, call 303-666-0667. That's Crystal Electric Incorporated in Lafayette, on the air because they care. Crystal Electric Incorporated is currently looking for hardworking veterans to join the winning team. Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592, just like that.
In an elegant New York City mansion, billionaire Michael Bloomberg sleeps safely. A team of armed guards protects Bloomberg. But what about you? Bloomberg doesn't care about your safety. Michael Bloomberg wants to take away your right to self-defense. He's pushing extreme gun control in Congress, and Senator Udall and Barack Obama are helping him do it. Bloomberg spends millions to elect gun control politicians like Udall, and Udall votes for the Bloomberg gun control agenda. What will Bloomberg want next? He wants a ban on popular rifles, restrictions on magazines, new anti-gun Supreme Court justices, requiring federal government permission before you can give a gun to a lifelong friend or family member. Bloomberg wants to take away your rights. He wants to eliminate your freedom. Defend your freedom. Defeat Senator Udall. To learn more about Senator Udall's voting record, log on to NRAPBF.org. The NRA Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising, paid for by the NRA Political Victory Fund, www.NRAPBF.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Good morning again, everybody who is listening to this Radio Liberty program. My name is David Wilson. We're on here with Dr. Dennis Cuddy in place of, I'm in place of Dr. Stanley Montieth, who's away from the microphone for a while. I want you to please continue to pray for him, for his provision, for his protection, and that he might just get a little bit of rest and relaxation while all that is going on around him is still happening. I thank you for your prayers, as I've said before. And by the way, if you are interested in the things that Dr. Stan has done, they're mostly in something called the Radio Liberty Resource List. In fact, you can find Dr. Dennis Cuddy's books listed there. And if we piqued your imagination and interest this morning, you need to go to RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com, or 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927, and see what you might want to order that will help you understand what's really going on in the world today. Your first step might be just to simply order a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource List, which they will send to you free and postpaid, and probably include in there with you a copy of Dr. Stan's insightful monthly newsletter. You can become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters at that same place, 800-544-8927, and for your $20 or more a month, they'll send you the very best program of the month. And I have to remind you, it's not a 501c3 organization. When you send money, it's not tax deductible. Goodness gracious, if it became tax deductible, we'd have the IRS sitting at the gate right outside our door. We're talking about a spiritual dimension to a conspiratorial nature of our way of life today. And with me, Dr. Dennis Cuddy has been talking about the fact that sin is sin and righteousness is not preached. The righteousness of God is unknown in many churches today because feelings is what is the main thing that gets the people in, along with heavy drumbeat and mindless choruses. So, Doctor, if the newspapers are going towards feelings, and if commercials are going towards feelings, and if the churches have gone towards feelings, what can we expect from the next media thing that will go that way? What do you think about that?
What I do is I go through historically and point out how they've come up to where they are and so forth and so on, but I also look into the future and, you know, see what the ultimate goal is, and then you can work back to see the answer to your question you just asked. And so their ultimate goal is a world socialist government. It'll be a synthesis of Western capitalism and Eastern communism. And to get there, they use various techniques. They love to use coercive mechanisms so that it appears that they're not, you know, forcing something upon you, but the public actually requests this thing, whatever it is. So, for example, after 9/11, I mean, just before 9/11, the public thought that our freedom was very, very important. 95% would say our freedoms are extremely important to us as Americans. But the very afternoon of 9/11, back in 2001, the attacks, ABC, Washington Post came out with a poll showing that 2/3 of the public would be willing to give up some of our freedoms for security. And so they like to do that sort of thing, a coercive mechanism. It's often through crises, whether it's a foreign policy crisis, economic crisis, you know, the Great Recession of 2008. We're going to have another one around a year and a half or so from now. You know, it's all part of a plan because they have like a timetable. And so they're going to have another one around late 2015, 2016, so that we'll, not just us, but other nations in the world will suffer and be willing to accept by 2018 a world currency. That's sort of the next stage. But they can't just leave things economically with this coercive mechanism. They have to leave things. They have to have things in foreign affairs as well, such as crises like the one going on now in the Middle East with ISIS. And they've used this technique for many, many years. They create crises, the people become tired or anxious, and they're therefore willing to give up certain things they otherwise would not have been willing to give up. So they're pressuring the Sunnis against the Shia. They're pressuring Israel to make compromises. They use that. There's a term, order out of chaos, that you might have heard bandied around. And so what they would do with that is create crises so that the public will be willing basically to compromise those things which it was not willing to compromise before. So in terms of religion and churches and so forth and so on, what you will find is a movement towards a one world religion. They may not even call it that. It would be sort of a one world spirituality, because it will also involve some new age types of things. And so what they will start to emphasize is what all faiths have in common, and they're already in the process of ostracizing what they would call extremists. In other words, you want to ostracize extremist Islamists, right? So they're jihadists and radicals, and they're awful and horrible and so forth and so on. And you know, to the extent they're killing people, they are. But they also want to ostracize conservative fundamentalist Christians or fundamentalist Jews or Orthodox Jews. All of those people will be sort of, you know, diminished in influence. They will be accused of being the source of violence and confrontation, and we do want peace and love and so forth. So let's see what we all have in common, and then everything will be happy, which again is
that's
the
really
feeling.
True. If I can interrupt just a second,
yeah.
Here in Daytona Beach, there's a paper called the Daytona News Journal, and on Saturday or Friday, I cut the editorial out, there was a column published that did exactly what you're just talking about. Not only did they denigrate the Christian religion by making it seem that we enjoyed killing babies because they quoted out of context some text from the Psalms, but they also denigrated the Jewish things by quoting curiously a New Testament verse, not only showing that they don't know their Bible, they don't know their religions, they don't know anything, but the piece was put together. So after you read it, you thought, both Christians and Jews and Islamic people were nuts. And I was so taken aback that a paper would publish this that is so wrong just in its fundamental understanding of the religions that they would even publish such a thing. And what you said brought it to mind, because it's happening right in front of us. The Pope is appealing to members of Islam to come together when they don't even worship the same God. How can the Pope not know that?
He knows that. They've been around a long time, and they know a lot of stuff. I remember my dad. He was in World War II in North Africa, and then in southern Italy. He was at Anzio, and it's a really bloodbath. His battalion was the longest in continual battle for any of them in the whole war. He was with artillery, but he got a firsthand look at Italy during the war. And I remember later on, when I was a little fella, he said, "Dennis, who has the most vast intelligence network in the world?" I said, "Well, we do. America." He said, "No." I said, "The Soviets?" He said, "Nope." He said, "The Vatican. They've been around for thousands of years. And the way it works is this. If you're in Burma or somewhere, who's going to pay attention to a peasant, you know, going into a church for a confessional?" But that can be the source of
information. You're going to have to hold that thought right there. This peasant going into church for a confessional. We'll be right back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy on a Monday Today from Radio Liberty.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, Give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
For something as down-to-earth as corn silage, subliminal advertising doesn't make sense.
High tonnage.
Corn silage hybrids from DuPont Pioneer offer top-notch yields and high quality.
Truckload tonnage.
There's high starch, high tonnage, and several BMR options.
Tip the scales.
Those options are just one part of a total feed solution that includes alfalfa, inoculants, and grain corn.
Quality in.
And the silage zone resource, which offers support all year long.
Quality out.
Talk to your local Pioneer sales professional about corn silage and BMR options that fit your operation.
Hi, anybody? We're back. My name is Dave Wilson. Dr. Dennis Petty is with me. We're talking about the vast intelligence network that literally sucks information from everywhere in the world, and that is the Vatican. On this program this morning, we're talking about conspiracy. Once again, a perfectly good English word, which simply means a couple of people getting together and deciding to do something, whether it be good or bad. And Dr. Cuddy, you were talking about the intelligence gathering information system that the Vatican has put together.
For over many centuries. As I was saying, if you're a country with a rather unsavory reputation, and somebody comes in, an official of the American government, whatever, you're going to watch them. You'll watch them as they come in at the embassy, and you might follow them and track them and all that sort of stuff. But who's going to watch, a peasant from Burma or somewhere who goes to a confessional, in a Catholic church? Oh, that's just a peasant. But those people, the peasants all over the world, are really, where the action is, at the ground level in every little community. And so, while the peasant is giving the confessional, he can also say to the priest, and by the way, I've seen in my local community some underground troop movement at night. that sort of thing.
Right.
So they have this vast intelligence network for many, many centuries, and it's very well refined. It's very much refined. And, for example, during World War II, you would have the Soviets moving into Germany from the east. And the Allies were very much concerned that the Soviets were grabbing up the Nazi scientists who had, great advanced knowledge in rocketry and so forth and so on. And so the Allies, America, would request that the Vatican help sneak out some Nazi scientists. Simply, it wasn't that they loved the Nazis. It was they didn't want the Soviets to get them. And so you would have them sneak them out. Wernher von Braun, who's very famous in the 1960s and 70s, I think he was head of NASA here. He had been an SS, Himmler's SS, I think he was the rank of a major or something. So the Vatican was in a position to sneak out people, and then also the Nazis, for example, would use various disguises in the same way. Dr. Josef Mengele, the angel of death of the Nazis, did all those awful experiments. He snuck out of Germany through Spain and down to South America disguised as a Jesuit himself. And the current pope is the first Jesuit pope. He's actually called the Black Pope, is the nickname that they give the head of the Jesuits. And he was there in Argentina when he was about, 10 years old in 1946 or so, when a lot of the Nazis started showing up down there. Plus, I have a photograph of him giving sort of this secret hidden hand. He's riding on either a subway or a bus or something, and he's got his, his hand in his vest like all the revolutionaries over the centuries have done. That's called the hidden hand signal. So there's a lot of intrigue in the Vatican as well as other places.
There have been a lot of books written about how this is supposed to be the last pope, according to a rather reliable prophetic writing that took place, 1,000 years ago or so. That's all very interesting. The idea to the normal average American citizen, however, remains the same, that it could not possibly be thought through to this much detail. I'm glad you mentioned the Fabians and the Fabian window, because something else on that Fabian window is a turtle. Would you care to explain the symbolism behind that?
Well, there's two symbols of the Fabians. One is the turtle because it's modeled, the name is after the Roman general, a couple of thousand years ago, Fabius. I guess his last name was Maximus or something like that, but Fabius. And his tactic was very, very slow progress. He would take his time, think things out, slow maneuvers, wear the enemy down, all that sort of stuff. And that was their attitude, that the turtle, like the tortoise and the rabbit hare, goes running real fast, but he loses to the tortoise, who just sort of plods along slowly but reaches his goal and wins the race. And so that's one of the symbols. But the main symbol on the Fabian window is the wolf in sheep's clothing. Who's there, and they're hammering on an anvil. The thing across the top of the window says, "Remold it nearer to the heart's desire." And a couple of the leaders there, Edward Peace and Sidney Webb, I think, are the two figures hammering the world. They have this world on an anvil, and they got these hammers, and they're hammering it, remolding it nearer to the heart's desire. And so you have various Fabians. H.G. Wells was an earlier Fabian. Like I said, at the bottom of this window, he's sort of mocking them. But he didn't disagree with them philosophically. He just thought they should come out in the open with what they were doing. And that's why in his 1928 book, he called it the Open Conspiracy Blueprint for World Revolution. And so they have various tactics. They want to convince the people that they don't exist, that there is no such as a thing as a conspiracy. There's actually a good movie starring Glenn Ford called Brotherhood of the Bell, which goes into that. It was a Warner production made for, it wasn't in theaters, it was made for TV movies. It's quite well done about this sort of thing, how they condition the public to think there is no such thing. But that, if you have an intelligent public, that's not going to work. So what they had to do is dumb the public down. And as I said, they did that in several ways. They would move from the basics, reading, writing, math, and so forth, to this to the affective domain. And the head of the NEA, which is very, very powerful in education in all the public schools, National Education Association, her name in 1973 was Catherine Barrett. And as a quote, in 1973, she said, "By the year 2000, we want to get the public schools to not spend nearly all of its time teaching the basics, the academic basics, but rather we want to get that down to just one quarter of the school day so that the teacher can rise to her or his true calling, which is a philosophical change agent." Again, that emphasis, that switch from the basic reading, writing, math, thinking, logic, to the affective domain. And so you really have a public now who's been dumbed down. Now, how do they do that? Well, they did sort of a switch. You called it in the late 60s mastery learning. By the 80s, they called it outcome-based education. Now they're calling it Common Core. But at the heart of it, what they're all doing is saying, well, we're covering all this stuff, let's say, in history, all the little dates and so forth, and we need to stop that, just emphasize major things.
It's really happening. Yeah. It just moved away from a state, and it's going on, and we'll talk more about it when we come back from this last break on the Money Edition of Radio.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
Talking with Dr. Dennis Cuddy this morning, and we were just talking about Common Core. Well, the NEA, the National Education Association, has got its hand in the pocket or vice versa of the EPA, and what they're coming out in terms of curriculum is absolutely frightening. I just moved away from California. I liquidated everything I could and moved east. And the state of California is, of course, the proving ground for all of this stuff that we're talking about right now. And education is one of the common cores being received with jubilation by teachers. And what's wrong, Dr. Cuddy, with Common Core, the NEA, and the EPA all rolled into one?
Well, the Common Core, the NEA, you have political control. The Clintons, when Bill Clinton was running, they actually thanked the NEA for all the boots on the ground that they had done to get them elected. And Hillary will be, if she runs, counting on a large support for that.
Absolutely.
But the oneness of the system, a common core, the emphasis is on the word common. Whenever you do that, it's usually the lowest common denominator, because if you make it high in excellence, then you're not going to have that much achievement. And they don't want to get, they don't want to run into that roadblock. And so it's the oneness of anything, like a world government, the oneness. The great benefit of America is we have 50 sort of laboratories. So if, let's say, Oregon was to do something wonderful, and they presented the other states, and the other states liked it, they'd adopt it because they're interested in educating their children. But we have examples of the new math, as they called it, in the 1960s. In the 1980s, these national history standards, which turned out to be disastrous. The national history standards, when I was in the Reagan administration, we tried to warn them not to get into that. And that things turned out to be so bad, so politically correct, that 99 U.S. senators, liberal and conservative, voted against the thing. So whenever you go to this one-size-fits-all, you're running into some serious problems, and that's what Common Core is doing. And what they do in general is they cherry-pick things to emphasize. Well, that leaves gaps. And that's what the problem is today whenever you look at any situation. There's a lack of knowledge. They dumb them down by emphasizing just, you know, certain things like, okay, we'll go from the Civil War to World War I to World War II, and they leave out things in between, which gives you a lack of complete knowledge. And then they'll switch it. So, for example, you have this green movement today, and so they'll spend, let's say, a month talking about global environmental problems. Well, when you do that, what are you leaving out? And so you become very proficient at your own specialty, like IT, but you don't know much of anything else. And when you get a public ignorant like that, you can manipulate them more easily, and that's what it's all about.
Well, you know, we're at the end of our hour this morning, Dr. Cuddy. I want to thank you very much for spending some of your time with us and the listeners of a new audience in the Denver Metroplex. It's been fun talking to you, and I hope that we can do it again. Thank you very much, and have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Okay, thanks for having me. Goodbye.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Stan is probably envious of me being able to sit here and talk on the radio. He's taken a few days off to get a little bit of rest and relaxation, and we need to continually pray for him for protection and provision, and along with your prayers, call 800-544-4444.